This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A father figure.
We got bare necessities.
Nailing it. Nailing it. all along the way, everybody wants a piece of Mowgli for various reasons. And Baloo ultimately does what is the best thing for Mowgli. And almost dies.
Well, there's the B-side where Baloo, you know, mauls Mowgli. And nobody sees that one. You know, after he does a comical like, size pile of coke from Scarface, and and then he's like,
it's Walt Disney's original cut. It's only 20 minutes long. It was supposed to be a short.
Yeah, yeah.
It was about the dangers of the jungle. As soon as he meets Baloo, Baloo just starts licking his lips, and
yeah, yeah.
We just pan away as we just hear. we just fade out as we see the jungle. And that's the Jungle Book. I'll keep you honest.
Okay.
Warning: the following podcast is intended for immature dads only. Listener discretion is advised. This is Dad's Game Review, the most casual hardcore gamers around. Reviews and news from every platform. We waste our time so you don't have to.
What's up, kids? Welcome to another level of Dad's Game Review. I think, John, we are up to level 53. I'm not
100%. 53.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That's going to be an age that we'll both have at some point.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty.
Like your
yeah.
Teenage daughters will be like, "Oh man, he's so old."
How you doing, John?
I'm good. It's good to be back.
Oh yeah, that's right. Welcome back.
Back in the hallowed halls of the Dad's Game Review Tower, a 76 story megaplex.
Welcome to the sauna on my end.
Yes. yes, I'm in the game room.
If you hear an echo, I apologize. I cannot record inside my closet. So if there's an echo that you hear bouncing off the walls, that's fine. The AC is broken in my home, John. I am sweating. Like
that's
that
horrible.
SNL skit.
Too hot to handle.
Sweaty balls.
yes.
With Alec Baldwin.
Yes, I'm familiar. I'm familiar. Paul, would you like to try one of my sweaty balls?
I would love to. I would love to try them. That's it. Ooh, they're so moist.
Yeah, yeah that's the sweaty. That's the sweaty difference.
That's sweaty. Anywho,
I hate to do this yet. At the top of it. I'm not buffering on you, am I? Am I all getting like all skippy?
No, not really.
All right. You know, it's good that we're at a point in our relationship where it's like I can ask you, like, am I buffering? It's the equivalent of, do I look fat in this dress?
All right. To which
no,
I say, in this room? Or what are we talking about? That's when my wife asked me, am I fat in this? I say, in what, this room? What are we talking about?
Oh,
this town?
Good. Oh, wow. It's always good. It's like a dad joke masterclass.
Not the answer I recommend, kids.
Yeah. do I look fat in this room? Paul, I've been gone. I don't know. What's going on? What have you been playing lately?
John, we've had a guest on, Nicolette, from work, and we discussed The Last of Us. So we're finally doing the summer series, The Summer of Us, which is going to be 3 episodes. And I know, I don't know if people want to... I don't know if anybody wants to dare to last 3 episodes with us or skip over it. I know I do on certain podcasts when they do something putrid as Pokemon.
Putrid as Pokemon.
Yeah, that's their new one. Putrid as Pokemon. And they just go on and on about Pokemon for like 5 episodes, and I go, delete. I don't feel like listening to this. But then again, who am I?
Well, I mean, I'm the guy that would probably listen to the Pokemon stuff. You know, kind of, I've been doing this like side project where I'm doing like a choose your own adventure. And my favorite thing is looking at the comments where it's like, we better not use a fire attack, because if we do use a fire attack, he might counterplay with a bug type of move. And if he does that, then we'll be able to take the damage. It's great. We're just nerding out over the statistics.
Right, right. Well, let's see. What is The Last of Us? You've been playing The Last of Us on PlayStation 4. I am playing The Last of Us Part 1 on PlayStation 5, basically because I love this game. I just, the gut punch of the story is what makes this game. Mm-hmm. So basically, The Last of Us is a 2013 action adventure game developed by Naughty Dog and published by Sony Computer Entertainment. You players control Joel, a smuggler, so a Han Solo of the action world, if you will, tasked with escorting teenager girl Ellie across a post-apocalyptic United States. And it's played in my favorite version, which is third person. I love third person.
Third person is nice. It's very good for console, in my opinion.
Really? Does it not work on PC?
Well, no, third person's great on PC, but like whenever a game is first person on console, I'm, you know, this is me being old.
Right.
Just the gamepad, I feel like, is not the ideal instrument for first person. I like the precision of keyboard and mouse for first person games, but third person, the gamepad is perfect for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's still third person, even though your shooting is first person.
You
know,
I guess.
But that's whatever. That's a, you know, not going to go into semantics.
Well, yeah, but it's fine. I have a lot to talk about this, even though I am still working through it.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask you, Paul, as someone who has played this game and now finished it 4 times.
Yes. Yes.
What is it that keeps you coming back?
Well, The Last of Us. I purchased The Last of Us with my PlayStation 3. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not. PlayStation 3 came out, and it came with The Last of Us. Initially, I didn't play it, because it just came with it, and I was like, what's this? You know? Like, I just was like, this is Sony's little pretend exclusive, you know, that we're going to sell more consoles this way. And I just kind of put it to the side. Believe it or not, I never put it in my PlayStation 3.
Hold on. Like, in an alternate reality, we're doing this about, like, Duck Hunt. You know, you know, I got Duck Hunt Mario Brothers with my Nintendo. I never played it. Then I picked it up, and the relationship, the gut punch of when you miss that duck and the dog laughs at you.
Right. I couldn't help but a tear came to my eye. Now, if any of you.
So it's one of those things where, in a way, you're kind of like Joel with Ellie. With this game, where you're like, I don't know if I really want to play with this game, and then you kind of get to know it.
I was more interested at the time in, I was working, this was back in my web programming days, and I was more interested in playing Need for Speed with my friends at work. So I had purchased the console that came with The Last of Us, and I had purchased Need for Speed with it. Mm-hmm. And I basically played Need for Speed. I played Need for Speed. I don't think I even opened the box to The Last of Us, like the plastic container it came in. And I evidently pushed the PlayStation 3 to the side because of how crappy it was. The machine was just garbage. I mean, it's a known fact. That's not my opinion. Although
it
I don't have
it was
sources.
Established by the Gaming Commission.
And I had moved on from the PlayStation 3 because everybody was playing Xbox 360. And I had taken my hard-earned money, John, and I walked right down to GameStop and plunked down my cash and buy a used Xbox 360. Believe it or not, to my surprise, I don't know if I ever told you this, but when I got home and opened up the box. It was a beige. It was not a white. And there was some kind of weird logo on the side. And I had said to myself, what? Well, it's an Xbox, obviously. But what is this? So I hooked it up, but I said, okay, whatever. Maybe, you know, maybe it's just beige or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Plugged it in. I talked about this with Nikki last week. Plugged it in, turned it on, and it didn't make the familiar sound that an Xbox makes, which I've heard from my friends' consoles. It had made a bong sound. It had went boom, and it started up.
Yeah.
To the point where I shut it off, and I said, is it broken? Shut it off, turned it on, did the same exact thing. I said, that almost sounds like a commercial. Like, what is that? What is that? And I said, that's the Taco Bell's out.
Oh, God.
And I said, what the hell is this? There's no indication on this Xbox other than the color. And then staring at the logo, if you look online right now, look at the Taco Bell Xbox. You will see the logo on the side is the Taco Bell bell. I had purchased a Taco Bell Xbox that somebody had won. Somebody had won this and sold it, probably a parent, when the kid went to college or something, or just whatever. I had purchased the winning console of a Taco Bell Xbox.
That is awesome.
But I didn't know it because you look at the logo and you're like, what is this? And I just couldn't. Until one day, with my daughter in her, my youngest, my 11-year-old, who was in a, you know, baby seat bouncing, and I was just staring at my Xbox one day. I wasn't playing it, and I was just staring at it, and I said, that's the Taco Bell bell. Mm-hmm. And I said, I had purchased somebody's winning Xbox. And when that you turned amazing. It on, it was boom. And that's the only thing that recognized the the home screen was the same as every other Xbox. Maybe at one point it was modded to look like Taco Bell themes, like maybe there was a Chulupa icon or something, but this was not it. It was all maybe wiped out and reinstalled. But I...
oh my goodness.
But like, since got the red... Circle of Death or whatever, the Red Ring of Death, it has since been given away or sold. I never used it again. Yeah, I just never thought of it.
When someone thousands of years from now is like searching, like trying to see what search terms will show up in a certain podcast, and it's like The Last of Us and they find this.
They will find this episode.
I want a Mexican pizza now. Thanks a lot.
Right? Oh, too bad they discontinued.
No, they're back. It's back. Just like, yeah. No, it's seriously back. So as of this episode.
Oh, are they really? Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So what keeps you coming back to The Last of Us, Paul?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So I played the Xbox for a while. The PlayStation 3, it went to the wayside. And then I had played with the PlayStation 3 on various games. I had pushed it to the side to play with my Xbox 360. That's where I got to know, believe it or not, Alan Wake.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Our good friend Alan Wake.
And Max Payne 3 and all the other ones. So, but then I went back to the PlayStation when I purchased a PlayStation 4. And that's when I had gotten cancer. And when I had had cancer, a friend of mine had came to my house and said, you have to play this game. And lo and behold, it was The Last of Us Remastered. And I was like, oh, really? They remade this? I was like, ugh. I was like, and he's like, no. You need to play this. Okay. So I plugged it in. What makes me come back, maybe it's, you know, what is that thing when you associate things with your brain, with your mind? Maybe it was the fact that I had nothing else to do except sit home and think about death. but I played it. I played it all the way through. And I actually played it twice. I just could not get over.
Wow.
Just the story. It just gripped me. It just gripped me, and it made me sad that I did not, that I sold my PlayStation 3. In the box with The Last of Us still sealed that I never played that one, because I probably would have had played it six times and have been talking about this. Talk about so this. Sans played... the Taco Bell 360.
The Taco 360. So you have played this version of the game, your version that I am playing, which is the remastered one for the PS4. That was your
yes.
first.
That's the one I had played twice. I had played that one twice, and then I think you're breaking up. I'm sorry. You keep freezing.
Yeah, my connection is a little bit funky.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I played The Last of Us Remastered twice, finished it twice, and then... lo and behold, The Last of Us Part 2 had come out on the PlayStation 4, and I had played that twice as well. Please hold. Okay. I gotcha. Can you hear me? Well, I rebooted, and we're back.
We're back.
When in doubt, reboot. John was about to tell me about the IT crowd.
Yeah, well, because they say, you know, why don't you just turn it off and turn it back on again? That's that like whenever the phone rings for IT, they're just like, IT, did you turn it off and turn it back on again? And then that's how they say hello.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. I don't even know where we were.
Well, so what happened to me, Paul, was I was like, tell me why you come back to this game. And you're like, well, you know, I let the game go. I had it on the PS3. I got a Taco Bell Xbox, the Xbox died. I got cancer, and then
all rabbit holes.
My friend was like, "Hey, you should play The Last of Us," and so I played The Last. And then
and then it all.
I heard everything about the Taco Bell Xbox. Every detail about that came in just fine.
I don't even know where we were, so I rebooted.
So here's what I heard. It's something you said earlier, actually, Paul, is kind of funny because you said the game is such a gut punch.
Yeah.
And I wrote gut punch as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because when I started it, I was like, oh, is this Ellie? And then I'm like, oh, no, it's not. And I'm like, this is a character I haven't seen before. Sarah, his daughter, Joel's daughter.
Right, right.
And, man, that is what a way to start a game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's very close with his daughter from the beginning, but the relationship is there, unbeknownst to Sarah. You know, he's very close with her, and I guess it's known to her because she. It ends. The last thing that we see is an exchange of a gift that he bought her. Him, rather, which is a watch, because his watch is always broken.
Yeah, yeah.
To which we see in the game that he wears throughout the game.
Yeah, they established that early on. Yeah.
So, I keep coming back to this game. It might be because I have four daughters. I don't know. I've often discussed this with many peoples over the years. Mm-hmm. A lot of peoples have said the same feelings as well. In fact, one co-worker said to me that he wept in The Last of Us Part 2, spoiler alert, when Joel dies. Mm-hmm. So I know it wasn't just me. I mean, the connection is there.
Yeah. I did not know that happens in Last of Us Part 2.
Oh,
that
sorry.
That makes me sad.
Spoiler alert.
Knowing what I know. Because yeah, it's you know what it made me think of? This is gonna sound, I don't know if anyone's made this comparison, but it's the plot of Jungle Book.
You know? Jungle Book.
Yeah. So
please elaborate.
You've got Mowgli. He's in a place that he shouldn't belong. He needs to get to somewhere else.
Right. The kid.
The kid.
Yeah.
He befriends Baloo, who is a big, like, beardy, fat guy. Who it becomes a father figure.
We got bare necessities.
Nailing it. all along the way, everybody wants a piece of Mowgli for various reasons. And Baloo ultimately does what is the best thing for Mowgli. And almost dies.
Well, there's the B-side where Blue, you know, mauls Mowgli. And nobody sees that one, you know, after he does a comical-sized pile of coke from Scarface. And... and then he's like...
It's Walt Disney's original cut. It's only 20 minutes long. It was supposed to be a short.
Yeah, yeah.
It was about the dangers of the jungle. As soon as he meets Baloo, Baloo just starts licking his lips. And
yeah, yeah.
We just pan away as we just hear... we just fade out as we see the jungle. And that's the Jungle Book.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much it. But go on, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's, you know, it's the idea of you've got, you know, a vulnerable person who is in a place that they kind of don't really belong in, and a non-biologically linked father figure guiding them through that and building a relationship to the point where they can't live without each other. That I was, because I was like, I'm like, it's not, it doesn't completely line up,
right?
But, like the I don't know, the stuff with like the cannibals,
right? Right,
you know, that's like, I'm like, okay, that's like King Louie, where like you know, they just like take Mowgli for a little bit because it's like, we want this from him and all that because he can make fire,
right? Right,
and so Ellie can cure the virus and everything. I don't know, it's not perfect, Paul.
Okay,
just think of that. Because I mean, as a dad of daughters, I totally relate to Joel. Even like some like the just like the little random things where he's like, come on, all right, after you, just go. Just like the little incidentals of how he talks to Ellie.
Right.
Like when they're just like walking around. It's really cool. It's really special. And you see the depth and the growth of this relationship.
Right. Well, being that this is a series, The Summer of Us, we're actually going to continue. I'm going to make John play it another week. Just so he can maybe get the full impact, maybe watch it on YouTube. Who knows? You know, I'm not judging.
I got to tell you, the thing that really catches me about this game is it's not like a choose your own adventure. You are, you know, you're in Joel's shoes.
Right.
And so like there's that, even at the beginning where they're like, they're driving past people who need help.
Right.
It's like, they got a kid. I'm like, so do we.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like Joel's just like, I got to do what's right for Sarah.
Right, you know, right, right.
You know what I mean? So it means, like, you, in a way, to survive and to protect the people that you want to protect, you're going to have to screw other people over. You know what I mean? You're going to have to leave
them behind. I have to admit, though, when they fast forward 20 years, he looks pretty damn good for a 50-something-year-old who's had to survive in this post-apocalyptic world. You know that he's from Texas because nobody else would survive any other state because Texans own guns. You know, it's almost like what's the best form of security for your home? Flying a Confederate flag outside. It means not only do you own guns, you're probably cleaning it right now. So... Yeah. You know,
not
that
not only do you own guns, but you shoot them at
yeah,
and will shoot them at people.
So this is some type of state. You know, these survivors are people who are from the southern part of the United States, because there's no Californian in the world. Maybe some New Yorkers, but there's no Californian that's like, hey, yeah, man,
Long Islanders totally made it. Like, you know, it's just like, yeah, man, you know. But like, they never shot their guns. They
just they just have it because it's cool. Yeah. You know,
like Long Islanders will have like 12 handguns that are like all cool and silver. It's like, yo, do this one. This one's awesome. It's like, have you ever fired these at the range 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, Joel is the ideal person for this world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
I like that he's the muscle as well. Like, when he's doing... I told you like, when I was playing, I was like, I'm like, you have to do all these honeydew chores.
Right, for, right.
Tests. And it's just like, oh, man. It's just like, this is just like my wife being like, move the plank. plank over there, please. Move the plank there so we can cross it. All right. You want me to help you with it? No, I got it.
Yeah. Oh man.
And then there's that point where it's like, okay, the curfew's been broken, the soldiers are after us. You need to stick to Joel now, Ellie. You need to follow Joel. I'm like,
yeah.
No, you're dead. I don't know what I'm doing.
How far did you get? Obviously, there was a relationship with Tess and Joel at one point.
Yeah. No,
like, I mean, she looks like, you know, she looks like a spry 30-something that he's obviously had relations with. You can tell from the conversations.
There's a bit in the beginning where she's all, like, beaten up, and he's like, what happened? And she's like, I don't want to tell you about it. And it's like, ooh, can we trust Tess? You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
And that was the same thing where it was like with the Fireflies. I'm like, are they good or bad?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and like, right, because it's like they could go either way.
Right. Much like anything else, any other faction that's created, you know, it starts with the good intentions.
Yeah.
And then it goes somewhere bad.
I got to just about when we lose Tess.
Okay.
Where he's a little bit icy with Ellie and everything.
Right.
What am I saying?
I don't know, John. What are you saying?
You really have to inhabit Joel's world and Joel's viewpoints, and you can't insert your own sort of value system into this world,
right?
Because there's the part where like you get there's like the room that has the spores in it, and it's like, oh, better put our masks on,
right.
And there's that guy who's like, hey, help me, my mask broke, and it's
yeah.
like, oh, well, how do I help him? And it's like, press L1 to aim, press R1 to shoot. What do I do? Press L1 to aim.
Those are the only options.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't help him out. It's like, no, press L1 to aim.
Right.
And you're halfway there. And it's just like, wow, you see someone who makes very, very hard choices and is a very distinct character. And knowing what I know about the end of the game, it's like, yeah, it's completely consistent with what Joel does. It's like if he values something, he'll do whatever he can to protect it.
Right.
And that's really consistent.
I think what it is also is that I think we want to believe that that Joel is every single American that lives. We want to believe that. Moral, upstanding guy who does what's right by his family. And tries to help, but in this post-apocalyptic world, it's almost impossible to try and be Superman and help everybody because you can't.
You'll die.
I mean, especially when you get past that part where he's like, help me, my mask.
Yeah. You build a new, like, morality system.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, the next question I really had, and I'm sure like a million podcasts have explored this, but
right.
How have you felt about it? I don't know if you talked about this in the previous one, but like, you know, we went through our own like, world spanning viral event.
Yeah.
And in the same year, we had like stuff going on, like riots, and we had curfews.
The funny thing is that this game handles a pandemic way better than we did in real life.
maybe. It handles it. Well, that's the thing about the Fireflies that threw me, because I'm like, well, the Fireflies are like the anti-maskers.
Right.
Who are like, we need to go back to the way it was.
Right.
And that's why I was like, are they bad or are they good?
Right.
Because they're I think the you know the way they're spun is like, well, we're on martial law and like people are getting like arrested and like we learn right away that like the military are not the good guys.
You know? Well, yeah, Fedra, yeah. Right.
Right.
I don't know if you saw that everywhere. The rhetoric, I don't want to say rhetoric, but they make it quite clear that the Feds are the enemy, and there's a thing that's created almost immediately called Fedra, FEDA. the federal, I don't know, execution of Damn Associates. I don't know. I don't know what it stands for, but it's obviously the federal government who's trying to keep everybody safe, but they don't know how. So the best thing that they know to do is create quarantines, much like we did here. But they did it in a way that was very well.
This is what I texted you about this, but this is what actually reminds me most of Half-Life, Half-Life 2, and the Half-Life.
Oh right, yeah, yeah.
Because there is essentially like the feds that are just like soldier dudes, and then there's also like monsters everywhere that have just kind of entered this world as well, and they essentially quarantine off those areas too, and it's like a police state.
Okay.
And so, like, there's sections where you're getting shot at, and there's sections where you have to watch out for, like, horrible monsters, like the clickers. And also there's, like, modifications and, like, crafting. And so I was just like, Paul needs to play, like, Half-Life Alyx, because it's so much in alignment with what, like, Last of Us does, too, like, thematically.
I would like to see... In the next Last of Us series, I would like to see them explore this from the beginning. However, I would like to see it explored, like, from Italy.
Yeah.
How did Europe deal with this infection?
That would be actually kind of cool.
That would be an awesome idea, Naughty Dog, in case you're listening. In case you're one of the 42 people that download this podcast, Naughty Dog.
The Last of Us Molto Bene.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Octung. Last of Us Octung, baby.
Water and pasta.
Yeah, just the French version or whatever. The Last of Us Britain, like where they don't even own guns.
Yeah.
It'll just be a bunch of...
share one gun.
Yeah, a bunch of constables going, stop, or I'll say stop again, you know.
Yeah. That is really interesting because I think they did take what I would imagine to be a pretty realistic approach, which is that, you know, in some places it did kind of become like this quarantine zone.
It did. I mean, I think that what impressed me the most is how every facet, like they not only stayed in within the state. When they traveled the country, you got to see remnants of how people survived in the entire country. Now, granted, a lot of the backdrop was the same. However, they did go into a ton of detail, especially in Seattle. But you didn't get that far, I don't think.
No, I didn't.
But the detail that they went to show how this is working out for everybody. Is just amazing. I know we're getting, these are some real deep cuts, but that's only because I played it so many times that you notice like the detail in this and you just go, they put a lot of work into this. I mean, if you ever get to the point where you finish it and you get to the end credits, the credits play for like 25 minutes. Wow. That's how many people are involved. The fact that this game won over 200 video game awards is amazing. Like, it just, but people don't give it a lot of credit. They just have heard of it. And I go, Jeff, you played The Last of Us. And they go, oh, yeah, yeah, that looks awesome. You know, but at the same time, I think that they did the remake. And the remake is, I mean, first of all, the remake is just simply gorgeous on the PlayStation 5. And this is coming from a devout fan. But at the same time, like, there were parts of the game where I think I told you this, where I couldn't tell what was touchable or not. Like
I had that problem too.
Everything looked touchable. So on the PlayStation 5, it was so gorgeous that I was like, can I go over here? And then the screen would end. You know how like when you can run into grass but it ends? It would let you run into the end. Like it still had that effect of you running and it stopping you before you got to the grass. But the point was that you thought you could run into the grass. That's what made it amazing. The artwork made it amazing. And I got the message when I finished it that you could look at the concept artwork or whatever, that they had, you know, that there was enhancements. You could play the game again. There's also a prequel that's added in the game called The Last of Us, but it's about
Ellie
and her best friend, who both got bit, and they thought they were gonna, you know, they were gonna have a see who goes crazy first type thing. But her best friend obviously dies because she's immune. But you could play that game, which I only played once. So,
It feels like a movie or like a Netflix series that you binge watch.
Right.
The
like how many times have you watched Breaking Bad?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the first season a few times because I loved how it starts. And but it's on that level. It's extremely well written. The drama is poignant. And I mean, obviously, maybe it takes a huge left turn when it goes to Seattle and it becomes wacky, wacky fun time.
It does, because you meet up with a crazy best friend. Not a best friend. I would say a close friend. Mm-hmm. You meet up with Bill, who's obviously a vet from some type of war. But he's very on point. He's very set in his ways. And you meet up with him. And he's a friend that he owes a favor to Joel. So you meet up with him and he helps out you guys a little bit and you bond for a moment, but you go your separate ways. But also, you know, just there's so many facets to the game. I mean, and the way they bring it back towards Ellie and Joel's relationship is amazing. And the ultimate decision, which I think we're going to do a part three on this next week, and I'm going to let you discover the dialogue that happens between Ellie and Joel, because I want to discuss with you why he lies to Ellie and why he thinks that's the best decision and why he does what he does.
I have a theory about it now because I have the ending spoiled, but I...
You watched it, right? You watched it on YouTube?
I didn't watch it. I read a synopsis of it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because I'm a big reader.
Yeah.
I don't like watching. Like, whenever it's like, here's how you build, you know, here's how you fix your catalytic converter. I'm like, I don't want to watch a video.
Right.
Where the guy's like, hey, guys, so check it out. You know, our channel is really exciting, but I noticed a lot of people don't subscribe.
I want to hear, like, when I always liked it when Polygon or IGN had a guy on a video and go, this is what happens here. And then there'll be a cut of the video game and he'll be like, now he probably did this because, you know, like I'm always the watcher. I'm the opposite. I'm always the watcher. I am a reader, but you have to trick me into it. You know,
I didn't want to watch it. I wanted to experience it.
Right.
And so I will.
I like watching the director's cut, so to speak. So, when people explain why they think, you know, what's going on?
I appreciate that too, especially when it's a piece of art that you love and you want to be like, why did they do that? And,
right.
And then that's where the world building and the concept art comes in too, because you're seeing all the things that were kind of turning in the background.
Yeah.
Make the world what it is.
I remember Googling years later. I remember Googling, why did Joel lie to Ellie?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. Like, I was like, because I was confused by the story the first time around. Like, I didn't really have that click in my head until later when I was going down a rabbit hole and, you know, about to be fired from my web job because I sucked at it.
Paul would like you to come in here. We just wanted to let you know.
One second.
That Last of Us is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, can you believe that? I mean,
we'd like to also know why he lied to Ellie.
If you answer this, then you could keep your job.
This is Jessica. She's gonna walk you through the HR pieces of it, but she also wants to know. And did you use more stealth than, or did you just go in Glenn's blazing? What was your preference?
Which was funny because you can't really do, you have to make a decision to go into stealth or not most of the time. I mean, you can't just, not everyone is guns blazing. I mean, I enjoy the fact that you can listen and hear and visually see the shadows of what's going on, which is cool. I don't know. That's kind of a toss up in the air. Like, is that real life, though?
It is. It totally is.
Can you stop, bend down, and know exactly where people are?
No,
or is that like a post-apocalyptic thing that you develop over the years?
But you close your eyes, you concentrate, you kind of drown out the rest of the stimulus.
Hmm.
And then you're able to hear, like for me, I can hear the whirring of my computer's fan, and I know it's right to my left.
And, that's interesting.
Maybe this is where we finish, is I wanted to talk about the stealth elements.
Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about the clickers.
Oh gosh, yeah. When the soldiers, like, forget it. I made too much noise!
I just love this clip I got.
Hang on, Paul.
These blind motherfuckers make my skin crawl.
I am so sorry I talked over that. What did you say?
Oh, wait, I gotta play it again because I can't play it. Like, let me see here. Hold on a second here. I don't know if I can. Yeah, it doesn't let me play it, like, from a certain spot, these clips.
She's basking in it.
These blind motherfuckers make my skin crawl.
Which, as I mentioned, would not be a thing that you would want to say when you're at, like, you know, the Braille Institute.
Right. Or as you said, in a nursing home, you know.
Yes.
So
stealth.
Stealth.
This was the most pleasant surprise I had in coming into Last of Us. I had no idea about
Hold
those
on, elements. I had to press pause for a second.
Sure.
So, in order to get to Australia, it takes 12 hours by plane, and then you go somewhere into the future. Because of why?
What?
Why did you want to go?
Because there's a Billie Eilish concert.
Because there's a Billie Eilish concert in Australia.
She's very good.
2 hours.
But I'm gonna tell you right now, you already missed. You know.
She was hoping it would take only 2 hours to get to Australia.
Well,
I think it takes 6 hours to get to Hawaii.
Is the passport in order? Is the passport up to date?
Do you have a passport? Anything set up?
No.
You need to get a passport.
Yeah.
You might have to do a COVID screen.
We have to go through all the necessary things, you know. Are we finished?
You gotta pack up.
We're in the
you
middle of something.
Fly to the airport.
We're getting to the end of something. And can you close the door for me? Thanks. I see that she's following in her mother's footsteps in learning the correct way to disrupt a podcast.
Yeah. So we were talking about stealth. Did you need to unpause? Or?
No, I unpaused when she asked that question so that we could maybe capture some of the more annoyances that happen. So actually, what does she say? I said she says.
These blind motherfuckers make my skin crawl.
Right. I think that's the third time I've played that. So, the most terrifying sound in all of video games is that clicking and that grinding of teeth or whatever it is. They don't go away, John. They don't go away in part two. They're still clickers.
There's a similar enemy in the Half-Life series that is blind and is like essentially will instantly kill you if you make too much noise, it really very good use of terror in a game.
The funny part is that when I mentioned the concept art that gets unlocked, but when you look at the concept art of the clickers. And you know how it's the thing is like a fungus that takes over. You get to see drawing by drawing of how this fungus overtakes a person, and you get to see the different drawings, which fascinates me. I don't know why, but each one looks like a type of mushroom that is growing out of people, and it fascinates me. I don't understand why. It just fascinates me.
Using the mushrooms as a way to make zombies is a really clever way of kind of making something that's not too like graphic, but still terrifying.
Yeah, especially the people who are runners, who are just turning.
Yeah.
And they can't, I don't know, yeah, the game, so much detail and so much thought went into this that I think it's the discovery that really blows me away, you know, the discovery of it all. Yeah. So, I don't know.
I know there's also other types of zombies that I haven't encountered yet, so looking forward to that. I know we're a little over, but I wanted to talk a little bit about stealth.
Go ahead.
So the clickers are a big part of the stealth, but even knowing that you can basically play most of this game crouching, as a big Metal Gear guy, this was just catnip for me.
Really?
Because I when you're in that early mission where you're having to like kill all the dudes.
Right.
And I just like went one by one, just strangled every single one of them, and it was so satisfying.
Yeah. I love that even though it was stealth and you obviously made a ton of noise, maybe not 10 feet away from another clicker, they still didn't pick up that you were killing a clicker.
If you use the shiv or whatever.
Yeah, either or. Even if you strangled them.
Well, you can't strangle the clicker. The load screen keeps telling me that when I die.
Oh, is that right?
I love the load screens where it's like running directly at the enemy is a surefire way of getting killed.
Yeah. And oh, wait till like, you think those clickers are great. Wait till you get to a bloater, John.
Right. Well, that's going to be me after lunch.
A bloater. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's me every time I eat. A bloater is a clicker that doesn't die. Normally, the clicker is the last phase of you dying. For some reason, but a bloater, I guess, are people with stronger immune systems that just keep going.
Oh, wow. That's good.
But
that's great.
Yeah. I would say let's do a good, bad, and ugly, but I'm going to save that for the last episode of what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly about this game. Also, we can skip the drummer. Next week is going to be The Last of Us Part 3, not the game.
Summer of Us.
The Summer of Us Part 3. And then we will discuss what's going on.
Yeah.
So,
Paul, thanks for taking me along on this journey.
Oh, anytime.
I know this is your favorite game.
I might actually play it again by next week.
Oh, boy.
just to get the... Because I didn't become a shiv master. Did you actually go to a workbench yet?
I not yet, but I have enough... I have all the pieces. I can start making stuff.
You picked up all the nuts and bolts?
Every single one of them. I saw how many I need to get to the Shiv Master. I'm saving up for it.
I might actually play The Last of Us 2 to see the differences, but I don't know. But I already played that through twice. But playing this may want to play that again. But yeah, the nuts and bolts that you pick up, you can actually make adjustments to your gun.
Mm-hmm.
So, which you do, which I made note of this to Nikki last week. I said, you know, you can bend down and with alcohol and a rag, you can construct first aid items. Why can't you just bend down where you are? Why do you need a workbench to make your gun better? Like, I don't know. Try to get to that animation. Of a workbench by next week, just so you could see what he does at the workbench to make these things happen. Quite detailed. It's humorous, not humorous, but it's just funny in a way, like not haha, but like it's just kind of weird what he does. You know, he has tools that he makes the gun work.
My favorite running gag so far in this game is every time I go to a desk drawer, I hit triangle to open it, and there's nothing inside. And it's the same animation of Joel just going, and there's nothing. Just quietly just walking away.
Yeah, just like, why are we opening this then? Just, it seems like it's just, that's just what they did. It's almost like a silent joke.
It is. It's just, I bet like at the end of the game, like, or like the end of the second one, when Joel dies, he's like he gets to a drawer and like that one has something in it.
Yeah, yeah.
A picture of Sarah, and he's like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone's like, just like tears streaming down their face. It's like they were setting us up all along.
Right. Oh my god. Yeah. So, Yeah, so let's do this again next week, shall we?
Yeah, I like this. Let's do this again. Let's do more of this.
Okay, and you'll tell me if you're bored of this, right? You wouldn't be.
Seriously, like no.
I don't want to be torturing you with games that I find fascinating.
No, the big special ed moment for me working on this game or playing this game was realizing I could just plug my headset into my PlayStation controller.
Okay.
Because, like, all, like, the smashing sounds at the beginning of the game were like, get down, get down! It's like, it was waking my daughters up, and it's like, I'm too scared. And I'm putting, like, subtitles on, and I'm just like, this is not the best experience. I know it's not. And so playing this game with headphones.
This is not the best experience. It's not. That's what the more you know.
Yes. Well, thank you for taking me on this journey. I'm looking forward to getting to the end of it.
Definitely. So, definitely.
Not because I'm bored, because I just want to see how it ends.
All right. Cool. Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, I'll talk to you next week when we talk more of The Last of Us remastered/part 1. And we'll continue it then.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, talk to you later, John.
Let's keep the summer of us keep rolling as we fall into fall.
We keep going.
It's always summer somewhere.
Hey, there you go. All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.